Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. Our new guests, we have five new friends I'm going to introduce you to, and I guarantee by the time you finish this show, you'll have plenty of notes. So go ahead and grab your notepad, grab your recorder, whatever it is that you use to take notes, because I'm sure you're going to learn something today. And as always, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're introducing your friends to our show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Ms. Jennifer Smithberger. Her passion is helping individuals tell their stories in a way that connects with others, inspires the good within them, and compels them to take action. During her career, which spans NYC public relations agencies, a Silicon Valley startup, and corporate communications at Fortune 200 companies, she helps CEOs and business leaders articulate their visions and strategies in a way that engages their stakeholders. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Well, thank you for that introduction. I feel like it summed me up rather well. If I look back on what I've done over the last three decades, it's really about helping leaders tell the story of their businesses, the strategy and vision in a way that helps unify stakeholders, particularly employees, so that they know how their role fits into the bigger purpose. Over the last few years, I started realizing that the best way to get connectivity and engagement was by telling human stories, usually about the good that employees did for their customers or their communities. And that's where I really started sprinkling in those stories about the positive things that they were doing, how to bring culture and values to life through talking about good, which is a way to inspire people. 3 years ago, I realized that I didn't see small businesses really proactively talking about the good that they did in their community. I happened to have several entrepreneurs in my family, my husband's family, and I saw the amount of time and resources and energy that they put back in their community, but it was something they did more personally or private. So that's where I saw the opportunity to really help them make the good they do more visible, with the goal of helping them stand out, differentiate in the community, attract more customers, and grow. Because ultimately, a strong community needs strong businesses, and those two are really interconnected.
I believe so. I definitely agree. But for many small businesses, they wonder about how to, you know, create these opportunities as well as remaining authentic. Because what they don't want is to make it feel like it's just, you know, they're being opportunistic. Something's going on in the world. Okay, well, let me make a donation so I get pressed. How do you avoid that?
That is such a great point, Sharifa. We spoke to dozens and dozens of small businesses. We also did a study last year, and that was the biggest concern. If they talk about it or promote it, will it be perceived as only being done for marketing purposes? But I mean, I haven't spoken to one small business that it wasn't genuine. And the reason for that is when they started their businesses, I'm sure some of my friends on our discussion today will say that no business can blossom without the support of their community. Their employees are their neighbors, you know, their kids go to school with one another. It is truly sincere, their desire to pay it forward and give back to the community that helped their dream of business ownership come to life. So I've never worried about authenticity. And usually we talk about three things that are necessary: authenticity, which a small business owner already has, but also visibility and also transparency. Visibility means people need to know about it so that they can support you and join you in doing good. And transparency in show them. Don't tell them what you do. Don't just say, I support the local food kitchen. Show them the pictures. Help share that good feeling so that customers can know that when they support your business, they are part of that good too. So I think it's always explaining the why, right? Why do you get involved in the things that you do in the community? And that's when that passion will come through, and we all know that passion creates kind of alignment around people and shared inspiration and enthusiasm.
Yes, I definitely can relate. Now, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Brittany. Bree, as we like to call her now, Salzman. She's going to talk to us about her incredible journey. She's a former educator, and she was checking all the boxes until everything abruptly changed in 2017. A diagnosis of a brain tumor brought a crispness to her future vision that she previously was missing. She immediately began actively designing a life she was excited to live every single day. And now she helps others as well. Good morning, Bree. How are you?
I'm so great, Sharifa. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Absolutely. Tell us about yourself. Who are you and what are you passionate about?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, in 2017, I had this major life-altering event. And I think a lot of people are very familiar with PTSD, but I actually experienced just the opposite of that, which is post-traumatic growth. And I went through this phase of just rapid transformation. It touched every aspect of my life and my career, my relationships, my personal development, like everything. Nothing was untouched. And that launched me from my career in education into a career as an International Coaching Federation life coach. And so that's what I do now, is help others experience this level of transformational growth without needing that kind of life-altering experience or crisis or trauma. That's what I do now. And it's amazing. I love it.
You can tell by your smile that you love it. But yeah. Bree, let me just ask you this. How is it emotionally for you being a business owner? Still, you know, you went through your health challenges because that was 2017. So there must have been a recovery period. And then all of a sudden 2020 comes and you're hit again emotionally. How do you continue to deal, you know, because if people want to live this certain life, they're going to have to deal with what happened. So how do you do that?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And what's really interesting is that I actually am really grateful that I had 2017 before 2020, because in a lot of ways, I feel like it prepared me for 2020. I feel like I can take on anything at this point. My business grew a lot in 2020 because of COVID, because of the racial unrest, any number of things I could go on and on that 2020 brought us. Clients are coming to me because they are seeing, like, oh my goodness, like they're experiencing their own version of trauma, and they're wanting to leverage that into growth instead of something that is paralyzing or stops them of like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm going to shut the door and stay in my room and never go out again. So it's actually been really useful in that way.
I can imagine. Now I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, who I'm just going to stay away from, because I know when I need to feel better, chocolate is my go-to. Miss Julie Nygaard. She owns the Chocolate Therapist Chocolate Company in Littleton, Colorado. She is also the author of a book called The Chocolate Therapist, A User's Guide to the Extraordinary Health Benefits of Chocolate. And she teaches chocolate and wine pairings, as well as chocolate and tea pairing classes. However, her life isn't all chocolate. She is also a jazz singer, an avid skier, a single mother, and she loves to travel. Stay away, Julie!
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. So fun. I love the format.
I think you're going to convince me. I'm scared, Julie. I see that book in the back that says chocolate. I love chocolate. Yeah. Whenever I'm having a down moment or I need to feel better, it's like chocolate is my go-to, but, you know, watching my figure. So how can we watch the figure and have the chocolate?
Well, that's kind of what the whole thing about the Chocolate Therapist is. Like I studied nutrition my entire life. And this adventure for me, I call it my leap of faith in life, because I just bailed on corporate America to chase my dream of writing a book about nutrition. And just as that happened, the health benefits of chocolate news broke. And I'm like, oh, I need to switch gears here. This sounds like way more fun, because I'm a nutritionist and a chocolate lover. And I was like, this is the perfect way to combine my passions into something I love. So I did write the book, The Chocolate Therapist. Actually, quite a few years ago, I wrote it. I've been doing this now for 16 years, but this version of it is newer because, you know, the great news keeps coming out about chocolate. And I feel really blessed actually right now to be in this business, because people are using chocolate kind of as a comfort food, and we got to stay open because we're considered essential. Yay. And so even though we hardly saw anyone, we just re-geared our website, and the website business went up incredibly. And it's overall took people a little while to realize that this thing was here to stay and that they were going to be in. And then they were like, okay, we need chocolate to get through this. But what I did was combine my passion for nutrition as well as chocolate. So we're all natural, no dyes, no preservatives, soy-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, like everything that was important to me as a nutritionist, which really is my passion, I put into the chocolate business. And that ended up kind of over the, you know, after the last 15 years, so many people have had all these dietary restrictions and our chocolate line was right already there, ready for them. So I feel lucky in that regard too. But I also ended up writing another book about nutrition called The Last Damn Diet, a step-by-step guide to end your war with food forever, because people kept asking me while I was out speaking about nutrition and the health benefits of chocolate. They're like, well, we like the idea that we could eat a little chocolate every day, but really, what do you do to maintain your figure? Because I don't just chow on chocolate all day long. I mean, we'd like to, right? Morning, noon, and night program, but I'll just have like a few of my favorites and I try to go as dark as possible. And I even gave a TEDx presentation on chocolate last year about exactly what to eat and what to look for in the labels and why it's good for the body. So it's quite the adventure. And I feel, like I said, I feel really lucky to be in it.
Julie, I don't know. You seem like you might be the spokesperson for this chocolate company, but I imagine there's some huge lady in the back pouring, you know, the chocolate, actually, because you look like you've never had a weight problem in your life. And I'm looking behind you, there's a chocolate cake back there. There's a chocolate cake on the other side. You can't eat all this chocolate and look just amazing, Julie.
Well, I think being a nutritionist, I'm really committed to a clean ingredient profile. But what I like about chocolate is it gives me that little sweet treat that I love and that I crave every day without going over the top. And I'm not a big cakes, cookies, candies, gooey, ooey, you know, sugary, dye-filled center type person. I'm a purist. So I keep the ingredient profile really clean, not only in what I eat, but also in the chocolate that we produce. And no, there's no large lady in back making chocolate. We're all pretty small. Even the people that have been there, you know, 10, 12 years since the beginning.
Okay.
So it must be working.
I'm going to come check out your plan. It's probably going to be like the Wizard of Oz. And there's somebody behind the curtain. But
it's a small shop. It's like, it's called The Chocolate Therapist, the name of my book. And we make it on site. And we also have a wine bar and we serve coffee. So like, we're the vice of life.
I'm going to have to come hang out. Where are you located?
In downtown Littleton, Colorado, kind of south of Denver a little bit.
Okay, well, I'm heading to Colorado, see how things are in Colorado. But I want to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. John Vaughn. John is the owner and founder of Local SEO Search. He helps small and medium-sized businesses rank on Google and dominate their local market. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on the show and delighted with all these special guests with us today.
Everyone's a special guest. And I'm over here trying to read the titles on all of these books. I'm like, let me find one. Are there SEO books back there?
Yes, definitely.
What's your favorite?
Of sales marketing. Well, in terms of SEO, there's not a lot of books that are current because there's always trends. There's always new algorithm updates. So I'm a part of a lot of communities, which are more up-to-date and robust in terms of what's going on in the industry.
Okay, so what's your favorite book?
Currently or just SEO related?
Either one.
Think and Grow Rich is great. Give and Take, Adam Grant, Obstacle Ways by... you know, there's a lot. Mindset by Carol Swick. I just like a lot of variation of different books based on what I'm looking to ingest in terms of content.
Mm-hmm. What about Scaling Up?
Vern Harnish, it was okay. I mean, in terms of, there's a lot of other ones that I would recommend in terms of like growing and scaling your business, but it's all about, you know, an author's perspective, right? And you got to use it the way you want to use it in your own business.
Okay, so what are you passionate about, John?
I'm passionate about helping small business owners, right? Like I started this agency 8 years ago, and I was in advertising sales for 10 years, dabbled in traditional online performance and then directory advertising. And really the core foundation of why I started this business was not for the money. It's never for, you know, my own glory and anything about status symbol. It was really to help the community leaders, which were the hardest working individuals in life, I find. Small business owners put in their heart, soul, working 16, 18 hours, especially like restaurant owners, right? Like people don't understand what grit, determination, and what they're doing to just support their family, community, adding value to people's lives, right? And that's what it means to really understand what a business really needs to go through. And for me, I wanted to help those hardworking people get a digital presence, right? And I didn't know how to do it at the beginning, starting an SEO agency without any SEO background. I just knew my purpose was to help them. And so I served that person by understanding this whole industry and wanting to help them deliver a really good transformation in terms of a digital presence. And it's been a lot of fun for the last 8 years, and I continue growing and continue enjoying the process and continue learning and developing small businesses as well as internal team members.
Wow, you seem passionate about it. Now, what do you say to people or business owners who say, you know what, John, I can just go pay Google myself?
Yeah, Google Ads, definitely you can pay. Majority of people will not click on your listing if you're not on the map or below the map, because they know the difference between paid ad versus earned ads, which is earned organic natural listings. And you want to be known as an expert, leader, a thought leader, authoritative figure. And that's why I do help these small business owners position themselves as leaders in their niche, industry, community, locale, because they are so good at what they do, take care of the customers, adding value to their, you know, business, and, you know, understand how to run a business. So this whole new digital landscape is challenging for a lot of individuals and small business owners. And I just wanted to be just doing the right thing, helping them transition.
Mm-hmm. But do you feel that too often many of them feel like, oh, I could just do this myself, that I don't have to hire you to do it?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people are very hesitant on who they trust, what really goes behind the scenes of Google. But there's good people out there that can offer great services and understanding what Google is after and ultimately what your customers want, and putting out information that your customers need, your products and services, and positioning yourself as a legitimate authoritative expert in your industry. And that takes time. And there's a lot of factors, but you know, you have to understand what your strong and strengths are and what you're not strong at, and hire people for things that you're have no interest in wanting to do yourself.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. That was a commercial right there. I like that one. I am going to come back to you. I want to introduce our next guest, Ms. Kristen Burton. Kristen is a practicing PA, physician assistant in pulmonary critical care. She has served on the board for Indiana Academy of Physician Assistants and serves as affiliate faculty for Butler University's PA program. She is also the founder of Strive Coaching, a company devoted to the promotion of financial literacy and financial independence to healthcare professionals. Good morning, Kristen. How are you?
Hi, Sharifa. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me today.
You are so welcome. Who are you? What are you passionate about?
Well, that was a great introduction. But again, my name is Kristen. I practice full-time in pulmonary critical care, which in 2020 gave me the unique experience of working in an ICU during the COVID-19 pandemic, which that's kind of a whole different story. But my journey with Strive Coaching really started in 2016 when I graduated from PA school with $161,000 in student loan debt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I grew up in a family that didn't really talk about money. I finished school, really, I had no clue how much debt I was going to have. And then, you know, I graduate, I get really excited to finally have a job that pays for the first time in my life, you know, a real salary, and realize really quickly that, you know, my multi-$1,000 a month student loan debt was going to sort of crush me the next 10, 15 years financially. So I took a really deep dive into personal finance. It started with me figuring out how to navigate the debt. And I actually did pay off that $161,000 in student loans in just 16 months. Oh, wow. And then it sort of transitioned to me learning a lot about investing and the financial independence retire early movement and getting started with that. Throughout the whole process of sort of figuring out my own financial mess, I realized like this is really, you know, a national trend. I wasn't alone in all of these problems. You know, Americans owe almost $2 trillion in student loan debt. And, you know, a quarter of Americans don't have any retirement savings or pension. So through that, I realized, you know, this is something that I can help contribute to the promotion of financial literacy and just being a resource for people who are dealing with all of the same things I was and aren't sure how to navigate, you know, their car debt, their student loans, how to save, how to invest, and all of those things. So that's what I spend a lot of my time doing now when I'm off is working in Strive, and I have found it to be very rewarding.
What's the most rewarding aspect for you?
Really, it's messages from people who are just like me, you know, maybe someone in PA school or about to graduate that says, you know, I paid off my car because of something I saw you post on Instagram, or I'm going to go to PA school. And after hearing you talk, I realized the importance of debt to income ratio. And I chose a school that put me at a debt to income ratio of 1 versus 4 to 1. And so I already know, gosh, you just changed your whole entire future for the next 15 years with that one decision. So little things like that, you know, it's not like you're out changing the whole world, but just hearing one little comment or one person's life being different, it really does make the time worth it.
Well, you change someone's entire world, because even mentioning the debt to income ratio for the schools and all this, that's something that most students don't get prior to going to school. It's something they don't look at. We were talking about at a prior show, you know, students should be taught about financial literacy. And so I made the point, even though in college or even in high school, they're not taught about financial literacy, the first people they see when they wind up on the college campus is the credit card companies. They're the ones that are allowed on the campus. So you have these 18-year-olds, you know, now I have a $2,000 credit card, but nobody has to talk with them about, okay, let me explain to you what credit is.
Absolutely. It is so true. You know, you'll get a free t-shirt or a pizza in exchange for a credit card. You have no idea how credit card interest works. You don't really have a steady job. And then you wind up graduating with student loan debt and now credit card debt in addition to what you've accumulated. So very yes. common problem. I'm hoping we can spread the word a little bit and prevent some young people from walking down the same path.
Yes, Jennifer, we're over here hoping that we can spread this information a little bit and save some students so they don't go down this path. So how do we help Kristen?
Well, one of the, you'd mentioned the authenticity, and that's one thing when you're looking at what your give back to the community can be, the best thing to do is to align it to what you're already passionate about and what is your expertise. So for you, it might be financial literacy, and it makes sense to pick something that's also going to double and help your business grow. So target who you see as your prospective customers.
That is really interesting. Thank you. Actually, when I started this business, I really was gearing it towards sort of all people. And then as I sort of learned the importance of your story being relatable to the people that you're trying to serve, I really sort of niched down. And I've been talking mostly now to healthcare professionals, PAs, NPs, pharmacists, who are, you know, similar to me because I'm relatable to them and my story encourages them, I think, more than just anyone else.
Mm-hmm. John, we're getting this story out there. We're letting people know. What are we going to do, John?
Yeah, the online presence is so important, right? Owning your asset, which is your website, and then having the message congruent across multi-channel and platforms. And expanding that and keeping it consistent, making sure that that story resonates with your ideal avatar, understanding that anything that you put out there should be speaking directly to them, new blog content, social posts, any content that you're going to publish, like PR, YouTube videos, podcasts, whatever. It's the same messaging. It's just a different audience. There's a lot of people out there that don't know who you are. And you just want to get in front of one person that may amplify and share and resonate so that they can refer others, right? So it's all about just repetition, but quality content that resonates with your ideal avatar, which is your customers. And of course, the website, there's so many factors, right? Making sure that you really focus on conversion rate, talking to your audience, understanding title, meta, you know, H1 tags, keyword density, keyword research, all that matters. There's so many components in terms of SEO that you can't just do one. And that's why I love this industry, actually. Like, I can't just sit still and do one thing. There's so many moving targets. There's so many other SEO agencies, and we're always battling. And it's fun for me anyways. And it's not for everyone, because everyone wants to just know the results, right? For me, it's like that challenge, that struggle. To want to earn it, right? And do it the right way. So it's, for me, fun.
Yeah, it seems fun. It seems like you are having the time of your life. But for other people, it could be stressful. Bree, we got entrepreneurs out here. They're living their dreams, saving the people, changing the world, having some chocolate. But hey, what do we do when we're stressed?
Well, what's really fascinating, I keep hearing this word passion come up again and again in this conversation. And that's what's really striking me right now, because I think one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that the Latin root of passion actually is to suffer. And oh, so wow. That, yeah, it like, ooh. I know, isn't that but so crazy? Like that totally.
Oh my God, that makes so much, I'm sorry, I get easily distracted. But I'm just saying that makes so much sense on a lot of different levels, because even when we think about passion, at least I think about passion, I think about relationships, you know, but those, the more passionate the relationship is, we know it's the one that you have some suffering and some drop. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bree. I'm listening.
No, don't apologize. This is great. This is great. Yeah, but that's exactly it. I mean, there's this idea that like, oh, well, find your passion, you'll never work a day in your life. That's a hoax. You're going to bust your booty. Like, and there are going to be days that you're like, why did I do this? That is what, when you find that thing that you can tell yourself, like, I don't care what obstacles I come across. I don't care how difficult or challenging this is. This means that much to me that I'm willing to go through that stuff for it. That's when you have tapped into your passion. I just hear that in like so many voices around the table right now. I think the other thing too that I was thinking about too is my own journey as an entrepreneur, and how my, as we mentioned earlier, my previous experiences in education. And so when I very first became a coach, I was like, oh, I'm going to work with students. Like that's what I do. That's my identity. And there's the people that you want to work with, but then there's also the people that are attracted to you. And so I was finding though that students were not the ones that were coming to me, that it was actually the people who were connecting with my own personal story that was finding me. And that really wasn't students. It was mostly high achieving women who were just at a point in their life that they were like, what the heck is next? You know, my kids have moved out. What's next? I've shifted careers. Where do I want to go? Like those kinds of questions. And so it's just really interesting, you know, hearing about like the messaging and the story, and that not only your own story is so powerful, but then how that translates into a message that's outward, and all of it is encompassed in the passion that you hold.
Yes. Julie, I'd love to hear your thoughts. You're on mute, Julie. Thank you.
Sorry. It's okay. Well, first of all, Kristen, I need to know immediately how you paid that debt off. Let's circle back to that. And just picking up where Bree left off a little bit about, you know, first of all, the word passion, it's hard to take that word out of your vocabulary if you associate passion with the suffering, because I tried doing it for a while and I'm like, I just can't do it. Because I think for me, it's all about nutrition. And I get that message out through chocolate. And I feel also that one of my jobs is to bring happiness to people. I think we each have, you know, our different representation of what we do, but we do chocolate and wine classes, chocolate and tea, chocolate and beer. I sell chocolate. There's chocolate for weddings. People eat chocolate when they, you know, or they give it as a love gift. And I always tell my staff, if someone is not happy when they arrive in the store, you better give them a lot of chocolate and make sure they're happy when they leave. But I kind of feel like that is our, my job with that. And getting back to the charity thing where we were like, well, do we give to charities so that we can get publicity? And I never think about that, actually. That's almost like it's a benefit that comes back to you that you don't expect, because when you get into your heart, like for me, it's about education and children. And we do a lot with Doctors Without Borders. And I just have my favorite things. I mean, we try to sponsor as many local charity events as possible. But I love the idea that chocolate is such a connecting point, brings people together. They're always going to buy it, like at a silent auction, right? Everyone loves it. And that we can generate revenue that helps other people through what we do in our business. And I love it.
I mean, I think I would too, if I got to work with chocolate all day, every day. I mean, I would be happy as well. I love chocolate. Like, so what are some of the health benefits, and why do people say, stay away, stay away, stay away?
Well, it's made from the ground seeds of a fruit tree. I actually have the Theobroma cacao fruit right here. I have this whole thing, like I said, on my TEDx, I won't go through how it's made from bean to bar, but basically the seeds are extracted, all the liquids are pulled out, and then you start with the very best part of the fruit as the base of chocolate. So it's extremely high in antioxidants, which fight toxins in your body, right? They neutralize free radicals. Some of those antioxidants can cross over the blood-brain barrier and help protect against amyloid plaque buildup, which is a cause of Alzheimer's. It can dilate your blood vessels and help reduce blood pressure. And that's some of the most significant research that's out there. It's one of the few foods that people who are going through chemotherapy can actually taste, which is why if someone is going through chemo, giving them a really nice box of chocolate is a great gift, because they lose a lot of their ability to taste. So there are so many things, like the way that I wrote the book, I took all the research and I alphabetized it. So you can look up whatever your issue is, and then I have all the research supporting with a fun recommendation, of course.
That sounds interesting. Wow, I had no idea. I have to check out your book. Now, Kristen, yeah. I want to go over to you, Kristen, because Julie and I have a question. We need to know how to get rid of this student debt.
So honestly, the process was very simple, but very difficult. So I'm married. I was married then too. And we lived off of my husband's income, which at the time wasn't very much. We lived in a kind of really small house. I drove a $4,000 Chevy Cobalt. We didn't really travel. We didn't really go out to eat. And I worked all the time. So in the world of medicine, you can have what are called per diem positions. It's essentially just a part-time job where you pick up shifts here and there. So I created a little collection of 4 or 5 per diem positions, and I would fill up my schedule to the absolute maximum with various jobs, and basically worked at least 80 hours a week, sometimes 100, in order to get it done, which, you know, people think is crazy because it really genuinely was a lot of sacrifice, but it's a lot of sacrifice that I made for 16 months that I then sort of got to move past it and enjoy life afterwards. So now my husband and I travel a lot internationally, prior to COVID, and really get to kind of enjoy the fruits of our labor. And I no longer work that much, but at the time, that is what we did. Again, super simple method, but it worked.
So basically hard work. That was the key. That was the secret sauce. Yeah. The hard work.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes, I'll continue with my student debt, because I'm not about to do all that right now. Jennifer, we got to get Julie out there. She just has to let people know you can have chocolate, have some fun, enjoy your life. But the people don't know. We think chocolate is just bad, 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 Jennifer.
You know, going back to something that Bree mentioned, I heard a quote recently that work is love made visible. And that really resonated with me because, you know, you've heard purpose and how it's going mainstream and all businesses are trying to integrate it throughout all aspects of their business. But that's something small business owners have always done. As Julie mentioned, you start your business because you have a passion for something and you care deeply. You want to help others. So that's why, like John, I'm so passionate about small business owners, because I really view them as already leaders in the community. They have already earned the trust of their community. So something Julie mentioned about not talking about the charity you do. I guess sometimes I try to flip the idea, and as a consumer, as a customer, I want to give back, but in a way that is impactful. I want to feel that the hour I give or the couple, you know, dollars I give make a difference. And sometimes that's hard when I do it by myself. So if I can do it with a small business owner that I trust, that is, you know, consistently giving to a charity or a cause I care about, that just makes it more impactful. The other thing is, I tell small business owners, think about it as a way to use your voice and your social networks and your credibility to build awareness for that charity or that cause that you care about. And lastly, as a small business owner, I mean, you're shaping the character of the community. So why not inspire kindness? Why not create opportunities for your customers to join you in doing good together? And I always say, never say like, look what I did. It's look at what we did with our customers for the community, because it's their spending dollars with you that affords you the ability to give back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Julie, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Julie's like, it's back to me. Yeah.
I love that idea, actually. And while you were talking, I was just thinking, oh, I could put a donate button on the website, and then that money could come in and we could use that money to donate more baskets, support more events. Because really, I probably get asked between 5 and 20 times a day to donate something. Sometimes that's hundreds of requests per month. And it's sometimes overwhelming. So I was like, well, what if I could fund all of this and we could touch a lot more lives? Because we have a limit. We're a small business. I have so much that I can participate in, and then I have to say no, which pains me. So yeah, I'm already like, okay, I could do this. I could do that. I didn't call you, girl.
Yes.
Julie, you're not alone in that. When we did our study, we found that some businesses get asked up to 10 times a month. And it's people that you want to help, right? Your employees, your customers, your suppliers. But one way to work around that is to pick causes that are near and dear to your customers and employees. Pick a few and then make those public on your website or anywhere you communicate with your customers so that they see, okay, they give back, but these are the areas that they give back. So that makes it easier to say no. When you can say, you know, I'd love to help if you focus in these two or three areas that we support. But just saying no is hard. But when you say no, here's our strategy for giving, then people understand.
Mm-hmm. I like that strategy for giving, because I agree with you, Julie. I wouldn't personally add a donate now button. I would add a program to a separate page of how they can support you and support the community. And these are the things that we give to. And by giving your donation to us, you allow us to help support these causes. So I would break it down to more like a program with details and information. And then at the end, there's that beautiful donate now button. So, you know, you got to give them a little sugar. You know about the sugar first, Julie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I love those ideas. Those are great. It's so funny because I've been in this business for so long, and then an idea like this comes along and I'm like, why didn't I get that like 10 years ago?
Yes. Julie, we'll talk after, but no, just like chocolate is your passion, for me, it's giving back. If you do something like that, it's really important that you always circle back with your donors and let them know how their dollars to you, like where they went and what you achieved, so that they realize, you know, oh yes, I trusted her with the money, and here's what she did with it. That way you can kind of continue growing that relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Kristen, love to hear your thoughts.
I think this is really kind of incredible stuff, actually. I have considered in the past starting some type of scholarship fund through Strive Coaching, but haven't been able to actually bring that to fruition yet, and have just been in the sort of introductory reading phase. But you guys have really inspired me to use my small business too for some sort of additional community impact in some way.
I like that. I'm a business consultant, but everybody doesn't want to work with me because I'll take the Nike just do it philosophy, while they're coming up with all these reasons why in 10 years they'll get to it because I'll have enough Just do it. Just create, you know, especially with a scholarship, you can go through all the different ways that you can do it. But at the end of the day, with a scholarship, you can give a certain scholarship amount, you know, maybe once a year, and then do that whole year. You're promoting and promoting and promoting, which is raising the revenue for you to be able to give that scholarship. So even if it's, you know, 10,000 or 5,000 or whatever to the organization or the school that you believe in, again, I go with the just do it philosophy. John, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of making impact and giving to others. I mentor, I educate, but I also believe that giving back to the community is huge. So me coming from, my parents came from Vietnam. We, you know, came to Canada when I was, you know, a week or two old. I am a big proponent of giving back to the immigrants, right? Coming from a different culture, didn't really have much. I support those people. So I always have an annual backpack program, giving a couple hundred, you know, backpacks filled with school supplies. Last year during this pandemic, I was really trying to help the small business owners. So I have an impact initiative where I'm giving back SEO, full service SEO campaigns to 100 small business owners. So for me, that's what I'm all about. Like, the money that we make or not, it's all about sharing it, because we are way better together collectively, socially. We're a community. We're helping each other strive for success. And it's just rewarding in a sense that it feels like it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Strive. We work that word into a conversation. Strive for success. That's, John's over here doing commercials. Jennifer, you had some thoughts?
Something John mentioned, you know, large businesses can give, they have big wallets, they can give large one-time donations. A small business, though, they're resourceful, they're gritty, as I see in the bookshelf behind John, they're resilient, and they have a network. They know how to collaborate. So an example that comes to mind is last spring, I interviewed a deli in California. They had wildfires in their community, and 50% of their customers were affected by it. And he just jumped into action. Now, this is a 500 square foot deli with 6 employees, but he called the local home building, you know, retail store. He called, you know, various other partners. They got two tractors full of essential items in 3 days, and found a nonprofit, a church where they could bring all that so that they can help their community. I mean, I just love the idea that it doesn't matter how small you are, you're nimble, you're resilient, and you can collaborate, because you achieve more working together.
Jennifer, about to make me feel bad. I feel guilty. I haven't done something. Like, I feel like I have to do more now.
Bree, well, idea is never do it alone, right? I mean, this is, doing good is something that the most joyous thing you can do, and call local businesses to join you. Find causes you share together and leverage each other's visibility and networks to kind of drive brand awareness.
I'm a partner with Julie. We're going to have chocolate everywhere. Every time I have an event, it's going to have chocolate. Bree, how you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, what Jennifer just shared just really, really resonated with me, because, you know, with my business, I'm a one-woman show. And so it is like having to get creative with it. So with my workbook, 10% of the profits go to the American Brain Tumor Association. And also, you know, Kristen brought up scholarships earlier. I can't be sure that every month or whatever that I can offer a scholarship, but what I do know is that when I have this many paid clients, then I can offer a scholarship. So I know the numbers of my business to know when that scholarship can be offered. But then also, like, I think one of the driving factors for me talking about financial literacy and financial access, I think that with the coaching industry in particular, tends to come with a high ticket price to be working one-on-one with a coach. And I know that that financial piece of it is a huge barrier for people. And so it's really important for me to have built my practice in a way that I do have self-paced guides. I have my workbook. I have free workshops. I have a working group that are all lower ticket items, and that you still get access to the benefits of coaching without having to have a ton of money readily at your fingertips to be able to do so. And so I think there, I love, Jennifer, what you shared about like when you're small and growing, like you just get creative with it. My impact is certainly not the size of like Nike or, you know, any of these major corporations, but I'll get there. I'll be there someday, but I'm doing what I can do now, which I think that like, that's amazing, Jennifer. I appreciate you kind of sharing that.
Brie, and just remember, just like what Kristen said, changing one life, it's not one life. It's the ripple effect of that one person, their friends, their family, and everyone that they're going to touch in their life.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's so funny that you say that. Sometimes I just need a reminder myself because I talk about that with my clients all the time. Like we're taking these little steps and actions every single session, but it's the compound effect that really makes the transformation. And I sometimes need that reminder myself. Thank you.
Yes. Kristen, do you see the compound effect with your clients?
Absolutely. Actually, Brie, what you were saying was really resonating with me. When I started my business, I was doing really one-on-one coaching with people to help them navigate their money situation. And I realized that, again, you know, the price point of that and just the legitimate restraints on time made that not the most effective way for me to actually help people. Factor in COVID-19 and the world kind of shifting to virtual. And I have found that offering lower cost digital courses has actually been key for me in reaching the most people possible at a lower price point and not necessarily restricting who I could help to how many free hours I had in a week. So that's been a kind of unique way I've shifted my business. And I felt like it really changed kind of who I was able to help. And it's funny too, that you mentioned, you know, it's small things and then they compound, like it's, everything is the same in money, right? You know, one extra payment to your debt makes ultimately a huge difference at the end, even though it doesn't feel like it right then, you know, a consistent monthly investment of $50, maybe doesn't feel like you're going to change your whole life, but when you compound that over decades, it really does. So the same principles apply across the board, really, whether you're looking at personal development or money or business growth or whatever.
I like that same point and that same principle with the whole scholarship idea. If you set aside a certain amount per month towards the scholarship, you know, in a year, you can give this scholarship to help other people. Just an idea. Now we are coming down. This has been a great show. I love it. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, John.
Well, thanks a lot, Sharifa. What I would like everyone who's watching, listening as an entrepreneur is take action, go for it. You know, there's a lot of information out there. There's blogs, podcasts, videos, books, you name it. Go focus on what really matters to you, right? Like I know you've been listening about purpose and passion and, you know, grit and perseverance. Well, everything takes time. And as much as you want to achieve all these goals and aspirations, you got to plug away at it. Take small baby steps, have micro goals, micro moments, right? And go out and enjoy those moments. Have fun while doing it. Don't overstress yourself. You're probably the biggest detriment to your own success, right? Because you're going to be judging every action. So don't be too hard on yourself either, right? Like have fun throughout that entire process. And go out and just strive for whatever you want to strive for and have fun along the way.
Absolutely. And when we say have fun, Julie, what do you have for us?
Well, I would like to see everyone enjoy a little chocolate every day, guilt-free for the benefit of their health. And once you have the education, like my motto is, you know, the only difference between guilt-free and guilt-ridden chocolate indulgence is simply education. Like once you learn about it, then you can do it guilt-free. And I think it's important in this day and age when we are bombarded by so many things that make us unhappy. And like I was saying, I'm in the business of happiness and it is a choice. What I read, who I interact with, what I watch on the internet, I intentionally stay away from a lot of negative news so that I can be in a good place so that I can share that with other people. And then, of course, if they want the best all-natural, gluten-free, soy-free, fabulous-tasting chocolate, to check out thechocolatetherapist.com.
Okay, you're going to see some orders come through for Sharifa Hardy, because right now I need some chocolate therapy. Thank you. You are welcome. Kristen, what do you have for us?
Well, I wish my advice was as exciting as Julie's to eat chocolate every day. But really, I would just leave it as, I hope this is encouraging to anyone who's listening, who's struggling in the money department, that you can address your debt, you can achieve financial independence. And just by learning more about the topic, grit and perseverance, which we've been talking a lot about, you can get there too. If you have questions or want resources, my website is www.strivewithkristen.com. And I actually have a free money guide you can download to help you get started. Thank you for having me on here, by the way. I appreciate it as well.
You are welcome, but you can't just leave us with the free money guide and sign off. Like, I need some more details on what's in this money guide. I heard free, which is my favorite number, but what else is in this free money guide?
It is free. So it talks about kind of the basics of getting started, how to shift your initial mindset about your money scripts that you may or may not be aware of, how to create your first budget, what basic account types you're going to need, and the difference between saving and investing. And then it talks a little bit about when to pay off debt versus invest, which is one of the most common questions I get, especially for people with myself with high dollar student loans. When do I put those extra dollars towards my debt, and when do I invest it for my future? So it will go through all of that and then give you a really good list of resources, books, podcasts, and my courses as well to help you deepen your dive once you're done going through the guide.
Wow. Yeah. See, you have to download that. Thank you, Kristen.
Yeah.
Bree, what do you have for us?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Sharifa. This has been so much fun. I would just share that for those of you who are ready and interested in taking this journey toward knowing yourself and on a just deeply intimate level, and you can find me at lifelivedbydesign.com. All my social handles are there. You'll also find my self-paced work guides, my workshops. I have every single month, and my workshops are always open to anyone, and they're free. The other thing, especially for your audience, Sharifa, is I have a special on my workbook right now, the Examined Life Workbook. If they go to lifelivedbydesign.com/roundtable, they'll get the workbook for $22 when normally it's $35. So just for your audience, I'm super excited about that. And then lastly, International Coaching Week is coming up May 17th through 23rd. And I have completely cleared my schedule from all of my current clients so that I can offer pro bono coaching to anyone who is interested. And you can find out information about that on my website as well. But thank you so much, Sharifa. This has been a blast. And Kristen and Jennifer, Julie and John, I really look forward to keeping in touch.
I usually don't do this. Yes, I do.
Uh-oh.
But I am. Because what I heard, because I hear things and I'm like, wait, is that what she said? So did you kick out all the paying customers in order to help people that's not paying? I mean, that's what, Jennifer, you know, it wasn't just me. Like, is that what that's wonderful, Bree.
So they're not kicked out. They're just delayed by a week.
Okay.
They get a break. They get a 1 week break.
Okay. That makes more sense to me, because I'm like, the people who are paying, now she's not going to help them. She's going to help the people who don't pay. Okay. If that works for you, but 1 week, I understand. You want to help and be of service for a week, and then they can
absolutely
take a vacation. I love asking these questions. Communication is key. Jennifer, mm-hmm. What do you did you enjoy the show, Jennifer?
Oh, I had a great time. I you know, once you stop like thinking and worrying what's the next question, I just really kind of fell into the conversation. I had to control myself from jumping in.
I noticed that, but it was good. I mean, I liked the conversation. Everybody was on mute, so I was like, at least Jennifer was helping me out. What's your takeaway?
So my close is that no matter where you are in your business journey, at the very beginning as a seed of an idea or more stable, mature business, there's always an opportunity to do good and give back. It can help you with everything, creating brand awareness to deepening customer loyalty. I would say if the good you do, you're likely already doing good, So there's nothing wrong with that good also helping benefit your business. And when I think about that, I realize that you have to be a sustainable business. You have to keep the door open and be thriving so you can do good and let that good grow. So if you want more information on how to get started or how to leverage what you're already doing, just visit our website, seedership.com. That's S-E-E-D-E-R-S-H-I-P. We have a blog that's full of small business case studies and lots of how-tos, everything from like how to talk about the good you do, how to pick the causes to focus on, and how to measure your impact. So once again, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you for being a guest. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show live doesn't mean you're not important. It doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because we do. Please support our guests. Our guests are here with you this morning to share their advice, their strategies, their tips, their journeys, their stories with you. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post, but as always, please don't just visit the website. Pick up a copy of Julie's book. Go work with John. Pick Jennifer's brain. Find out how to save money with Kristen. Bree has helped so many people, and she can help you too. So support them. Contact them. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.